Where central point to Parshas Vayishlach is this confrontation that takes place between Yaakov and Esav. And when Rav Hirsch describes this confrontation in his Perush on Chumash, he describes it as a confrontation of two ideologies. Now, before I read further, I thought that he would be describing two ideologies, those who believe in Hashem and those who don't believe in Hashem. But he describes it differently. He says, the ideology of Yaakov versus the ideology of Esav, if you think about it, for 20 years, they've been apart. What has each one been doing in those 20 years? Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. He went to Laban's house. And per his father's instructions, he found a wife. Actually two, maybe four. The more the merrier. Don't tell my wife I said that. Okay. That's also true. But he finds a wife and he begins to raise a family. And his focus is on raising a family, creating a family, raising a family, educating his family, doing chesed, becoming a better person, making sure that he's honest in his dealings with Laban, even though Laban isn't so honest in his dealings with him. And that's what Yaakov has been doing for 20 years. And what's with Esav? Esav comes after 20 years, having risen the ladder of political power and increased military might. His whole family is alufim. He comes with an army. And says Rav Hirsch, what you have here is a clash of ideologies, a clash of what priorities one should have. Is it about humankind and raising a family and creating a culture in which one can be more human, engage in kindness? Or is the goal to have military might and political power? Which one serves which? Do we use our political power and our military might to further humanity? Or do we take humans and use them to further our goal of increasing our power? And that's the way Rav Hirsch describes this confrontation. When I was thinking about it, though, I said it's not only a confrontation always between a Yaakov and an Esav. You sometimes have the same confrontation and the same dilemmas within Yaakov itself. Like, what are our goals? What are our aspirations? What are our priorities in life? What do we consider important? Is something that we go out to search for? Do we think about choosing a path where I can be proud of my salary, my job title, various diplomas I can hang on my wall, the honorific titles that people refer to me by? Is that what my goal is? Is that where my aspirations lie? Or maybe my aspirations, my key goals, shouldn't necessarily be that. Maybe it's more about having a family and raising a family, working on myself to become a better person, to engage more in chesed. Maybe that's more important than the titles and the diplomas. Now, the two aren't necessarily contradictory. The question always is what is the ikar and what is the tafel? What is the main thing and what is secondary? Which one is meant to serve the other? And I think it's a challenge that many of us face throughout our lives, but especially as we begin to start the path of thinking about career and life with Be'ezrat Hashem, a long life ahead of us. What are our real priorities? Remember a conversation I had, it's been already quite a number of years. It's one of the alumna. She came back to visit MMY and lost touch with her in the year she had left. Baruch Hashem, so I asked her about her. She was married. I think she had a couple of kids at the time. And I asked her what she's doing. Well, I don't remember all the details, but I think she was telling me that she was, right now she was in marketing, but she was planning to leave marketing. So I said, are you not happy there? She said, actually, she's quite happy. I said, you enjoy the work? She says, she enjoys it immensely. And the salary? Salary is very, very nice. Planning to move somewhere? No. So you love your job. The salary is good. They still want you to... Yeah, you can still keep a job. So why are you planning to leave marketing? She said, because I don't have any time to spend with my kids. I have to leave early in the morning. And I come back in the evening. And I want to be there more for my kids. So I'm planning to retrain. So we're planning to study, she said, library science. Salary isn't as good. The job doesn't sound as glamorous. But in my view, here's someone who had her priorities straight. She says, having a nice job and a good job, an enjoyable job is important. It's not more important than your children. And she wanted to be there for her children. I don't think that's an easy decision. And I won't tell you that everybody should be making that same decision. No two people's circumstances are the same. But here's somebody who could step back and say, my priorities aren't necessarily the priorities of the outside world. My priorities are more priorities, at least in this context, of Yaakov. And if that's the case, I'm going to make that decision. And although I again have lost touch with her, I would not be all surprised if, despite some of the downsides, she's very happy with that decision she made. I want to tell you one more story, which at first glance I didn't think was so connected to what I was talking about. But then sometimes you see a story, I saw the story last night, and I said, well, maybe it is connected. It's a story about Tuvia's grandfather, Art Tuvia's grandfather. Am I serious? Tuvia's grandfather was Rav Mendel Zaks, that's all. Rav Mendel Zaks is the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, meaning Tuvia's great-grandfather. It's the Chafetz Chaim. The story is told that Chafetz Chaim was once traveling with Mendel Zaks, son-in-law, and they were going from, I don't know, from place A to place B, in a horse and buggy, in a wagon. And they got to their destination, and they got off the wagon. Mendel Zaks reached into his wallet and he paid the wagon driver his fee. He took out whatever the fee was, gave him the few rubles that whatever it cost, and started to walk away. So the Chafetz Chaim stopped him. He said, did you know what you just did? He says, you were just mekayim three mitzvos midoraisa. There's a mitzvah to pay a worker on time. Mitzvah taseh, you did that. There's a mitzvah slo taseh, not to delay payment of a worker. So you're mekayim that mitzvah, you didn't delay. And there's this third mitzvah to help poor people, and the wagon driver evidently was not one of the richest people in town. And you help support poor people. So you're mekayim three mitzvos aser, three mitzvos midorais. But if you think about it, you did even more. Because now that this person has a few more rubles in his pocket, he's going to go home, and he's going to be able to buy a little bit nicer food for Shabbos. So his covered Shabbos will increase, and his onik Shabbos will increase. And because there'll be a little bit more food, his wife will be happier. In which case, you're also increasing the shalom bayis in this person's house. And he turns to his son-in-law and says, Mendel, and you just paid him like, by the way, look what you've done. And for Mendel Zaks' response was, I thought I was just paying him the little fee that I owed him for the wagon ride. I didn't realize how much I was doing. So why is this connected? First of all, I saw it in the Sefer, of Avishai's David Sefer on the Parshas Vayishlach. What did I think the connection is? You know, sometimes we think that we have to search for the glamorous thing. We're going to go out and we're going to change the world. We're going to do something that's monumental. Front page headlines. And that's going to make all the difference. But it's not necessarily that way. Sometimes we make a difference just by doing the little things. Just by paying attention to the average person. A smile, a kind word, paying somebody on time, thanking somebody, encouraging somebody. We don't understand the ripple effect that something like this might have. And I think the Chafetz Chaim understood it. That was the lesson that he wanted to impart. I think sometimes we all feel like we'd like to make a difference in this world. And that's a good feeling. But in order to make a difference in this world, you don't have to go out and change the world. What you need to do is just, what we need to do is just change ourselves. Become a little bit better of a person, a little bit kinder, a little bit more caring, a little bit more involved in the people who are closest to us. And that little bit can make a great difference. And in that great confrontation between Esav and Yaakov, Esav at the beginning seems to come out on top. But in the long run, it's Yaakov who wins.